It's Saturday morning and I'm here with Kathy, and we were just talking a little bit about the EcoFem menstrual pads, and this is something that has been started how long ago?
Well, we started this sort of new version of the project in 2009, so about 3 years now we're working on it.
And it was a project of the Village Action Group?
We started it, we wanted to bring it to Village Action as a way to try to develop livelihood possibilities for the women in self-help groups that we're working with. So initially we started to look at more or less at just as a livelihood project, and then we became more and more, and so the means to produce cloth washable pads and sell them abroad or wherever we knew there were markets in order to make a living, help of women their living. But then we became more and more interested in how local women are managing their menstruation and, you know, what products they're using, what their experience is, what their psychological experience is. And that completely reoriented us in our work towards actually developing a rural part of the project where we would look at both products, but particularly education for local, for rural women. And basically what we came to understand is that it's a subject that, first of all, is barely talked about. And the women that we talked to in focus groups and seminars had pretty much not talked to anybody about this before. And then, you know, we found out a kind of complex of issues there that had to do with, first of all, the fundamental belief in being polluted, contaminated when women have their period. And this resulted in all kinds of behavioural restrictions and lifestyle limitations. For example, women were not allowed to go to temple, not allowed to touch plants, not allowed to milk cows or feed dogs. And I mean, there's quite a long list, and it varies in different places. But essentially, from the time of puberty, women's behaviours and lifestyles are really restricted through this menstrual experience. And yeah, so we found out that women were not happy. Also, they were really somehow struggling and suffering and feeling quite isolated and alone in their experience. So we wanted to try to, and many of them also didn't even really have much of an idea what was going on. They didn't even really know what the biological process was. They knew there was some sort of connection between menstruation and fertility, but
what age were these women?
We worked with mixed ages. We worked with, yeah, actually from adolescent girls right through, so of all menstruating age.
And there was no revelation of storytelling or some cultural history, some local explanation of what menstruation was?
Not really. As you probably know, there's a ceremony which marks the girl's first period, and this is celebrated in quite lavish ways. But it's actually almost no connection between explaining to the girls what's going on in their bodies and to prepare them psychologically
for it.
It's a ceremony, and they get, you know, gold and jewelry and sweets, and the girl becomes lavish with attention. And sometimes the girls are even excited about getting their first period for that reason, for the celebration, but then they realize pretty soon afterwards that that was it. And now, you know, it's just not easy.
You could have a women's empowerment group in fair trade making anything. Where did the idea come to make menstrual pads?
From my experience, because when I came to Oroville, I didn't quite know how to deal with all the menstrual waste. I was like, what do we do with it? And I was trying to dig away in the baked earth in Adventure. It was just like, it was nuts. I realised this wasn't working. And so I was really frustrated. And, you know, I actually started to look for alternative solutions. And not long after, I was in New Zealand and I saw a cloth washable pad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I bought it. And from that day on, I thought, this is fantastic. And so I started to get cloth and experiment with different models and designs. So I actually started getting them made in Oroville, and just more or less with the idea of having them available in Oroville, assuming I wasn't the only woman struggling with this issue. And they were selling, and then I even had women coming from friends from abroad, and they would, you know, buy the pads or whatever and say, oh, this is great, can I sell it in the West? So I actually started to have a really sort of small activity of selling and making these pads for about 12 years before bringing it to
Umbag. Just on your own?
Just on my own, and I never really put effort into it. It was not really my focus or priority. I just did it because it felt like the right thing to do. But through that experience, I realised that there was a market there. You know, I wasn't even trying to to sell them when I was selling them. I thought, what if we really tried and really, you know, redesigned the product and made it really, you know, a good product. I mean, I didn't put a lot of effort into my design, so even in spite of that, it was working. So, yeah, we just decided to really go for it and see what we could do if we made an effort. So that was how the shift happened to...
Wow.
Yeah, well, and partly because I was working at Avag and trying also in vain for a couple of years for fundraising, because Avag was really struggling financially and needed to find a more sustainable base. And so it seemed more healthy to go for social enterprise model rather than just grants looking for begging, you know, putting up the begging bowl.
Yeah.
That was the idea.
So turning into social enterprise, it's how many women are working there, or what does it look like?
Okay, it's still all sort of in its formative stage, but at the moment we've also just become a part of the SEDAR project, this social enterprise development in the Oroville bioregion, which the government of India is investing in, to set up production units for local livelihoods. So EcoFem will be part of that. Right now we've actually got about 6 women producing, and it's still quite small. We're still really starting out. We only launched an international product range in April. So we're still building our markets, and we're looking, of course, for more outlets internationally. And on the rural side, it's been an even slower process because we haven't felt confident to launch a product in the rural sector until we had much more knowledge about local women and whether they would actually accept and adapt to a cloth washable pad. What we found in the rural communities is the whole trend is towards disposable pads. They're, you know, this is what's being very much promoted, advertised, and, you know, it's being promoted that it's the, you know, the hygienic alternative. But from our point of view, menstrual hygiene has been limited to a health issue, and we really feel it's far more complex. It includes economic, includes environmental, includes social, big time, includes social issues. So we're trying to approach in a more holistic way. So,
well, it's not even so much a question of hygiene. I mean, we wash our clothes and put them on our body. It's the people who are making money from selling pads are the ones who are saying it's...
Right. In fact, the more we probe the issue, the more you come to realise something maybe a bit more sinister is going on, because, in fact, India has been clearly identified as the next biggest market internationally.
Huge.
And I just read recently a statistic that said that, there's 350 million women of menstruating age in India. Okay, so that's already a staggering number. I mean, I come from a country that has 20 million women, or 20 million people, so I can't even begin to grasp that number. And then of those, they estimated that if they would all use disposable pads, it would be 59,000 million disposable pads a year, you know. And this is a country that doesn't have waste disposal, so, you know, that's what really motivates me. You know, I see year after year India just choking in more and more garbage, and, you know, this is going to just get worse. And women in India, you know, mostly, you know, rural women certainly won't even consider internal products. So things like a moon cup or tampons, forget it. So it's either going to be disposable pads.
Are there still people, I mean, the original phrase from the West is on the rag. Are there still women in rural India who are using loose cloth?
In fact, most are.
Okay.
So I think that's the saving grace. And I think that it's also the opportunistic moment for our project too, is that we're right on the kind of cusp point, what I see. The vast majority of women still do use cloth, but, you know, it's really changing fast. Like, the government of India have just introduced a scheme to give heavily subsidised disposable pads to adolescent girls. And, you know, it's a big contract with Unilever, I believe, to supply. Some self-help groups have also begun supplying, and a lot of NGOs are excited about the possibility of locally produced disposable pads. But the fact is that they all contain plastic, and they're all, you know, it's still disposable. And, well, from our point of view, there's nothing wrong with cloth. You know, if it's washed and cared and dried, you know, dried and stored in a clean way, it's just like underwear or normal clothes that we wear. It's
exactly.
Not, as you say, it's not the health issue that it's really exaggerated to be.
So tell me, you were telling me about a survey of 300 women.
Yeah.
This was with, what were you trying to find out?
Well, this was right at the beginning. This was our sort of first year work of just to understand. We were trying to understand how the local women, what's their experience with menstruation, what are the products they use, how do they deal with the disposal. How do they feel about getting a period? What is, you know, do they struggle with any issues etc. So it was for our understanding to give us even some sense of whether this was even worth trying to really go in this direction. And the main things we found out were that that the women, well, first of all, we found out things like that most women still do use cloth, but the younger generation, it's increasing the number of them use disposable pads. That disposal is an issue. You know, the women basically try to dig holes, or, you know, they all feel a little bit, you know, like fugitives lurking around in the bushes trying to get rid of their...
Women in the West also.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in the West, I mean, my memory is I still remember these sort of disposal units next to toilets. There was something there. But here, you know, I don't know, when you travel around India, there's nothing. And so you see them in the jellies, in the toilets, or in the corners. It's, you know, traveling in India for women, I mean, every woman knows that it's getting more and more awful, actually. Yeah. But mainly what we learned was about the kind of psychological and cultural restrictions. And actually on our website, there's also a film, a short YouTube video, which also has some short interviews with some of the women that were surveyed. So it was the things like not being able to feed the animals and touch plants and cook and, you know, in a way, a kind of form of social ostracism for women face. And one of the other things that we also were probing about products, and we found out too that women are also, nobody's supposed to see the menstrual cloth, you know, what they're using. So this was one of our challenges in design too, how to kind of conceal it in a way to make it look not what it is. So
it folds back in on itself and you button it. I saw that in the
Actually, this model is available in the West isn't the same model as what we're trying So what we're trying out locally is a number of different things, and we're product testing now, so it'll probably only be March next year before we can really confidently speak about what the final design parameters are. But essentially it's things like folding cloth, bright coloured, and the colour was a really big deal. We found that out from focus groups. The women loved the fact that it was colourful and that it looked pretty, and they understood very quickly too that they save money because of the reuse of ability of cloth. So economically and aesthetics were the big compelling factors. Environment did not really motivate women at all, but that wasn't to be expected.
Well, that's a great side effect.
Yes, that's a great side effect. That motivates me, but it was not so compelling for them. But basically the idea is they fold the cloth, and then it's just got wings that then can wrap around underwear. And we've designed a model for women who don't wear underwear, which is also not uncommon in India, a belted model.
Okay.
We're trying also another model now, which is just the holder. It has a leak-proof layer and a holder with wings, but then they can recycle their own cloth into that as well.
Yeah.
So the challenge has been to really design something that's as inexpensive as possible without compromising on quality, and it has the aesthetics that women would actually feel prepared to wash it and dry it and use it. They actually would like it. So that's where a big part of our focus is now, is really collecting as much user feedback on these different models and trying to pin down the model as soon as possible.
And it's organic cotton?
No. What we'd like to do for the Western model is organic, but again, it's been a bit a question of also time and resources, and this is quite a research as well to really find, develop the supply chain for organic, but that's definitely where we'll go for the West. For the Indian models, it's a question of value as well, and, you know, for our point of view, and cost, and it has to be as, you know, affordable as possible and cost effective. So, you know, if we can find a way to do it organically and keep the costs low for rural women, we'd love to, but probably that may be down the track. Right now, we'll work with conventional cotton, bearing in mind this cost sensitivity.
Oh, and if the product really takes off worldwide, then that'll put in a lot more capital in to be able to...
Exactly, then the scalability issues are there.
Okay, and recently, what was the... I didn't get to read the entire Hindu article, but Kathy was just featured in the Hindu, which has brought up a swell of interest,
This was... actually, just, you know, we've found over, because we've got a website, but honestly we're not doing much promotion. I don't know how people contact us, but what, you know, there's a growing swell of interest, especially among, I think educated people in India, that they're realising the environmental issues of sanitary waste. And it is gaining more mainstream media attention. So anyway, I guess somewhere they picked up that we're doing a project and wrote, and the whole thrust of the article was just more or less to spell out what the scenario in India means if we keep continuing to go just in the direction of disposable products. It's you know, it has a big environmental impact, and it's, you know, requires women to continually repeatedly purchase these disposable pads, which are essentially plastic. So it was more or less spelling out our initiative as an attempt at social change and at something, you know, different that will have an environmental, social, economic impact for rural poor in India, women in particular. So yeah, we've had a lot of interest coming to us since the article. It's a bit overwhelming. A lot of interest in people wanting to start self-help production units, which is going to, you know, something that we can't really entertain at this stage.
No,
not right now, because we need to obviously finish the design, and then we have to really see how to develop the most cost-effective way of producing it. We're concerned also about decentralizing production too soon and having a quality compromise. So I think this is something that's interesting, but we have to take the time to take the steps to really ground the project.
And is there a recorded narration of like each step, just so you know where you've been and how it feels?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah, we've got a lot of documentation.
Fantastic.
And we're now starting also on a more concrete visioning process too, because right now we're a very small team and we're realizing the rate this is growing and the amount of interest that we need a whole different operation to sustain it. It's really exciting, but it's going to need, you know, investment and more people and who can help. And because, you know, we're also getting asked all over India, come on, can you come and talk here, can you come and present there? And this is also really wonderful, but it's not feasible with just a handful of people to go schlepping all over India to bring this message.
So they'll do a Skype call.
Yes, or training trainers. I think this is another way we want to go, because the education, actually we don't feel that the product should just stand by itself. It possibly can in future, maybe when there's enough understanding, but right now it's linked to education, it's linked to this process of, you know, talking to women, creating conditions where they feel comfortable to speak about their experience and, you know, just opening up, learning what the basic menstrual cycle is and how to deal with it hygienically. And then this process we do of product analysis is very powerful, because it's when the women see the different products lined up alongside each other and look at it from the point of view of cost and mode of production and disposal and, you know, just visual appeal, how they feel about it, that inevitably the penny drops and they go, actually, we like the colourful cloth, it's really nice and solid, and, you know, we're willing to try that out. So I think that, you know, that will be a work, and I think our approach will be eventually trying to see whether with government or NGOs or combination of the two that we can really see how to create a model for upscaling this project in an efficient way that doesn't involve us going around and physically having to do it all. We have to look at training modules and things like that.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And the other side of the upswell of interest after the Hindu article, you said, was from people in other parts of the world.
Yeah, we've got a couple of people who have approached us with distribution networks in places like Russia and Dubai, so we'll be meeting up with them in the coming weeks. And yeah, at the moment we're mostly selling in the UK and Netherlands. We've got a few people out there who are starting to promote, but we honestly haven't put much effort in at all into marketing, so of course we're looking for ambassadors. I think our idea would be, you know, sort of not someone that's so comfortable with the idea of business and sales, even though we have to kind of get comfortable with it, but I think this is a project that's bigger than just a product, and it's not just business. It's really, I feel it's more like a movement, even maybe potentially
movement,
a revolution.
Consciousness.
Yeah, to talk about, you know, what's a taboo, to help women to feel more confident and able to manage their menstruation with dignity. And this is an issue that's affecting, you know, most of half the world's population at some point in time. So I think it's a, you know, it's a real question.
As an anthropologist, I have some, it doesn't sit right with me to understand it from the perspective of, like, women aren't allowed to touch cows or not allowed to plant whatever it is, plants, or obviously not allowed to go to temple. And I think that in the origins of this worldview or the religious aspects, the traditions, whatever it was, that the origins were more of an intention probably to give the woman a break.
Yeah.
Or to allow, like, it wasn't that she wasn't allowed to milk a cow, it was that she was invited to take a break from milking the cow, and somehow through more of a patriarchal system and modernization, it's come into what it is today.
Yeah.
Disconnection.
Yes, I assume that's true, and I think that's sort of something that you can see all over India too, not just in terms of menstruation, but the kind of
everything.
It's the kind of the abuse of the feminine, and the earth. It's all connected, I feel. But the problem is that these behaviours just go on unexamined and unquestioned. And what we're trying to do, and of course we have to be careful of not judging the culture or the behaviours, but just to hopefully just hold up through group process, through women actually sitting together and themselves, reflecting on their experiences and wondering maybe why does it have to be so. Like, one story really touched us recently was that a woman went. I think it was a festival one of the functions of one of the children, maybe ear boring or something like this. And on the day of the temple festival for this function, the woman got her period, the mother got her period, and when she told the husband, he slapped her in front of everybody because, it was kind of considered that there was something wrong with her, that she got the period on that day and sort of spoiled the whole show. And, it's kind of sad. So...
taking things where they are now.
Yeah.
Trying to help.
So, I'm hoping that what we can do is create, spaces and conditions through which women can actually be, with light facilitation, start to bring these issues up among themselves. Like, it's exactly the way our bag works also with its social issues, especially caste and gender. It's providing a space where these issues become naturally, the questions start to be raised from within the culture and not from, somebody sort of pointing any fingers, but just... I think that's where all the change starts, is from asking the right questions.
Nice. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Not especially, but if anyone's interested to know more, of course, our website's www.echofemme, which is FEMME.org. We've got a lot of information on the website and the video, and even the link to our research report. So if anyone's as interested in this topic as we are, then you can go right in
there. Check it out. And also, if people are potentially interested in requesting for distribution internationally.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that, of course. Thanks for mentioning it, because, obviously the project, our whole idea economically too is that we can help sustain the rural project work and the educational outreach work through international sales, and we've even just introduced a pad for pad scheme so that in the West when someone buys a pad, 80 rupees contributes back to the project, which we can actually also offer a cloth pad to adolescent girls, which we do in the context of an educational seminar as well. So it's this idea of ecosisterhood, so that's another way you can support the project.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you too, Andy.
Love it. Ecosisterhood. Yeah.